I'm going to learn a little bit about the Parsha and also a little bit of Yitzhak Hashem about Parsha Zohar, because it's coming up. So let's take a look first by something about the Parsha. So Mojit Sarebbe's Sefer in Divya Yisrael saw a very nice thing. He says, Parsha's Tetzaveh, Maase Chorosh Evin Pituche Choysam. So one of the things that they had to do for when they're building the Mishkan and to prepare all the different kelim was to prepare all the different stones that were going to go into the breastplate from the Kohen Gadol, the Choshen, and the Ephod, and the Urim, and the Tumim. So one of the things they had to do was Maase Chorosh Evin, that they had to use their craftsmanship to prepare the stones. And it says that they were petuche choysam, that the avonim, the stones, were petuche choysam. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, maase charash ev petuche choysam? Pashup shat, we know, is that they had to be skilled gem workers. And just like people today work with gemstones, they have to learn to cut the stones. Okay. Right up your alley. So they have to be skilled gem workers, and they have to know how to properly cut the stones and polish them. So that's pashup shat. Rashi says, maase charash evan, maase uman shel avonim. This was the handiwork, the craftsmanship of a person who knows precious gems and how to properly cut them and fashion them and polish them. But the Divrei Yisrael, the Mojit Sarebbe says, it's interesting, the pasuk says, maase charash evan, b'loshon yachid. He uses a singular. And Rashi says, Maase uman shel avonim, in the plural. So he notices, this is Shina, v'omar avonim, b'makom evan. Why is it that Rashi pointed out to us, avonim in the plural, as opposed to the pasuk, which used the singular, which used evan? So Shlomo der Mechremes, he uses this as a springboard for a remez to teach us a valuable idea. Diyadua hatorah kruya evan ruchos evan. The Torah is called a stone, because we know that the stone tablets of the Aseret HaDibros, the tablets of stone that we were given, according to some shittas, they were made of sapphire. They were also made of precious gemstones, but al kaponim, they were definitely some kind of a stone. Right? Luchos ha'evin. And the Yetzirah is also called an evin. Haru Yetzirah kari evin, lev evin. It says in the Pesukim that the Yetzirah is called like a heart of stone. So you have these polar opposites. You have on the one hand the Torah, which is our source of power against the Yetzirah, and it's called a stone. And then you have the Yetzirah himself, and he's also known as a stone. So, va'umnus shel avanim elu, what's the craftsmanship? What is to be called a skillful person who knows how to make gemstones when it comes to Torah and the Yetzirah? Hu pituche choysam. That's what's called pituche choysam. Lefateach, right, in modern Hebrew means to take something and to develop it, right? I don't know too much about working with gemstones myself, but I'm told that when you work, or even when artists who work on stone, when they work on it and they make like statues and they make columns, people who have an understanding of these things say that really, if you have an understanding and a chokhmah in this, that there's something in the stone, you can actually look into the stone, and even before you, right, when in its raw form, like when you see like a raw diamond or a raw gemstone, it's like a rock. It doesn't look as beautiful as it does afterwards when you cut it and you carve it and you open it up and you make facets and then it catches the light and it shines. But people who are skilled, the same way with people who make beautiful pieces of art from stone, and they're able to make statues and they're able to make beautiful columns, and they're able to look at sort of like the rock, the raw material, and see within it, see inside something that they're going to bring out of there, as if there's something already inside, some potential inside that they're going to bring out. So he says, Pituche choysa means liftoyach es hachasum v'lachtom es hapasuach. What does pituche choysa mean? It doesn't just mean to develop the rocks and to carve them and to design them. It means to open up that which is sealed and seal that which is opened.
So,
yeah.
And what's the pshat of that word?
The pshat of pituche choysam was like we said, to fashion gemstones, is to cut them and to make what's it called, to use the skillful art of gemologist they're called.
A gemologist.
Gemologist knows how to work the stone. He knows where to cut it, how to cut it, so he gets the right facets, to catches the light the right way, where there are the right veins of minerals, and where to cut and when not to cut, where it's going to break. There's like a fault line or something like that. There's something to do. There's a chokhmah behind it. You have to know how to cut gemstones. Not everybody can just take a hammer and a chisel and just go, duke, and like make rocks out of it. You know, it's a wisdom. It's something that's learned. It's a skill. It's a craft. So that the Pashup Pshat is that they learned the skill and the craft that they should make beautiful gemstones. But he's saying a different Pshat. He's saying Pituch Echosa means because the two Avanim represent the Yetzer Hara and the Torah, there's also a skill which means Riftoyach et Hachasum, to open that which is sealed and to seal that which is open. And that's also a Chachma. It's also an Umnus, a craft. HaUmnus Shel HaTorah Riftoyach Es Hachasum. The Torah gives us a craft, gives us a wisdom to teach us to open up that which has been sealed. Sometimes a person's heart is sealed. He's not able to mekabel. His heart is closed. His heart's been closed because of troubles that he's gone through. His heart's been closed because of experiences that he's well experienced in his life. He hasn't had the right teachers. He hasn't come across the right experiences. And a person's heart can become closed because of all those things. But the Torah says that it has the wisdom and the craft and the power to open up those hearts. And that's what we daven to Hashem. And we say to Him, Hu yiftach libenu b'sarasa. Hashem should open up our hearts with what? Through the Torah. The Torah has the power to open up a Jewish heart. And also, there's a wisdom and a craft not only to open up that which has been sealed, but to seal that which has been opened. V'lachtom es ha-pasuach. Because there are certain things that should be closed, at least in certain times, and we have to know when, how to close them, how to seal them. Sometimes a person has certain parts of his body. The Shulchan Aruch Kaddish speaks about this at length when he talks about putting shomrim on the psachim, on the different gates of a person's body. We have different gates in our body, our eyes and our ears and our mouth. They're all the gates of the body, and we have to be hafket shomrim le'ircha, to put guards by our gates. We shouldn't hear the wrong things, we shouldn't say the wrong things or eat the wrong things. We shouldn't look at the wrong things. And therefore, a person has to learn to seal that which has been opened. Sometimes those things shouldn't be opened. He has to learn to be able to close his eyes at the right time. V'chem umnus yitzhar. The yitzhar is also very crafty. He also knows his craft. He's also a very, very skillful person. He also seeks to open that which is closed and close that which is open. But ach lehefech, obviously he tries to do it completely in the opposite way. When it comes to the Yetzer Hara, he doesn't want to see a Jewish heart that's open, that's ready to receive. He wants to take the Jewish heart and seal it and close it. Right? He's called a rock, the wellspring of a Jewish heart that can pour forth tefillah and emotion and rotzen and shuka and his slavas. He wants to seal that Jewish heart. He wants to take a rock and put it over the well. That's the secret of Yaakov. He was able to roll the rock. None of the other shepherds were able to roll the rock off the well. The Degemach Nefran, Baal Shem Tov's grandson, says that Yaakov had the power. He was able to push the rock off that sea. It's Sahara. It's Sahara sits on the well. And Chazal also said in Brachos, Shiyosha ben Shnei Miftachei Alev, that the Yitzhara sits in between the two parts of the heart. The heart, in Hebrew we know Jewish hearts are two. Levav. We have two hearts. Every Jew has two hearts. And those two hearts can be pulling in different directions. But the Yitzhar, he sits, just like we know in science that the heart actually has two different sides to it. The Yitzhar sits in between those two sides of the heart, and he's trying all the time to give us what's called Nebuch, a Jewish heart attack. And he wants to make sure that, Nebuch, we don't have the ability to serve Hashem, that our heart should be sealed and it should be shut, and it should be closed. And he tries to seal that which is supposed to be open. And then the opposite, he tries to open that which should be sealed. V'ayinayim shetzarach lios sgurim. And when a person has eyes or even ears or a mouth, when they're supposed to be shut, we're not supposed to hear the wrong things. We're not supposed to speak the wrong things. We're not supposed to eat the wrong things. You're not supposed to look at the wrong things. The Yetzer comes and he opens them up. He tries to open them so that you should hear the wrong things and you should say the wrong things and you should eat the wrong things and you should speak the wrong things. Right, and then your eyes see and your heart desires. Ha'umnus shel avanim kanal. The umnus of the rocks, like Rashi said in plural, that both rocks, both powers have their umnus, have their craftiness. And pituche chosam, liftoyach es achosam, listomes apasuach. So we have to know that the Yitzhar is seeking all the time to seal a Jewish heart and to open up all our senses to experience the things that we're not supposed to experience. Therefore, we should use the power, we should daven, whenever we have in mind, we say, Hu yiftach libeno b'sarasoy. And we daven to Hashem that He should open up our heart with Torah, that He should open up our hearts, they shouldn't be sealed, they should be mekabel the Torah. And not only that, that He should be able to seal that which is open, that the times that those things shouldn't be the way that they are. We shouldn't experience those things, He should seal them. So, that's a little bit of Musar. Let's see what the what else we can learn about the parsha. So something Sivus Shalom said, something very, very deep about the menorah. Let's see if we can understand even just a little bit about it. So the Torah tells us that we've been commanded to take the purest of olive oil, lamor, to use it to light the menorah, right? And we should light those candles on the base of Mikdash forever. Tamid means forever. It doesn't mean like for a little bit amount of time. It means forever and ever. Right, we know the famous Midrash says that Aharon had a chrisha sadas. Aharon was very upset. Aharon saw all the Nesiim bringing their karbonis for the inauguration for the Chanukah Sabayis, and among all the Shvatim, the Sarim and the leaders of the Shvatim came, and Shevet Levi had no representative. So Aharon felt very bad about that. Don't worry, because you have a greater job than they do. Hakarbanos kol zman shebeis hamikdash kayem hem nehagim. You should know that the inauguration of beis hamikdash with these nesiim is only about to do with the karbanos, with the offerings and the sacrifices, and that's going to exist so long as the house of the beis hamikdash exists. Aval neiros leolam el mul pnei hamenoyer yairu. But the candles, they're always going to be forever. Vehekshuzem farshim. There's a very well-known Ramban. The Ramban asks, that's nice Midrash, but unfortunately the Beis Hamikdash was Nechrev. Everything was Nignas, including the menorah. We don't have the menorah anymore. We don't have the candles of the menorah burning. The fire of the menorah isn't burning, as far as we know. The Hadrakas menorah doesn't exist anymore. Midrash Tanchuma tells us, Shedenechrev Beis Hamikdash, Nignas menorah, B'soch Shara Dvarm Shenignazu. Everything was hidden away. Ha'oran v'ha'esh v'ruach ha'kodesh v'akruvim. So Midrash Tanchuma tells us all the things that were hidden. What was hidden? The Aron Kodesh, the Aron Abris, and the fire, the holy fire that came down from Shemayim, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and the Kruvim, they were all hidden. And the menorah was also hidden. Ach mikoma kam kashu ma miskayemes avoidus ha'menorah v'aneres sholel mi'iru. So this is what you can say, Pashup Shad, is that just like not everything that is finished was destroyed, some of the things were hidden away, the menorah was one of them. So it wasn't that it was destroyed. Okay, but that may be true. But it doesn't mean that someone's lighting it anymore. Just because the menorah wasn't actually destroyed, or just like the menorah was perhaps not really carried away, like it shows on the Arch of Titus, that they're carrying away the menorah, perhaps that was one of the lesser menorahs, just like in time of Shlomo there were other menorahs. Perhaps there was a different menorah they were carrying, or they made believe that they wrote something that wasn't true. We have a medrash that says that the menorah was also hidden, that they didn't carry it away. It's such a medrash. But that doesn't answer the question of what does it mean, because Baruch Hu promises in the other medrash to Aharon that he's going to always have the menorah's lights. I mean, we don't, even if the menorah is hidden, no one's lighting it. So the Ramban says it refers to Hanukkah candles. The Ramban says that the Hanukkah candles that we light, that's the promise that Aharon got. That we will light Hanukkah candles, that's the menorah that's being lit forever. It's a wonderful, beautiful idea. But the Nesivus Shalom takes it in a different direction. Why is the menorah special? That it's among those kelim that was hidden away. If you want to talk about other things that are mentioned in this Midrash Tanchuma, they're supernatural. How could you destroy them? Right? How could you destroy the Aron? It says that the Aron took up space and it didn't take up space. It says that the Kruvim, when we were doing the Ratzon Hashem, they faced each other. So they're obviously not normal statues, because statues don't move based on the Ratzon of and the Chuka and the Avas Yisrael. Right? And Ruach HaKodesh and the magical fire that came from Shem. These are supernatural events. So obviously you can't destroy something supernatural. It was hidden away. The Sfarim say that the Churban Beis HaMikdash was something external. It's just a facade. The true Beis HaMikdash, which is the Mikdash up in Shemayim, still exists. what it says in the Sfarim, right, it's already brought down in the Midrashim, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really did for us is a great chesed. He poured out his anger on rocks and stones. He didn't actually pour out his anger on Klal Yisrael. What did he destroy? He destroyed a house of rocks and stones. So that was the physical Beis HaMikdash. But the facade, the external Beis HaMikdash, but the internal secret of the Beis HaMikdash was never destroyed. And that's the secret of the supernatural Nisim that we saw. Those are the inner Beis HaMikdash. And therefore they were hidden. And the godly ruchos that were written with God's hand, so to speak. That's supernatural. And the Eishon Shemayim is supernatural because it came down from Shemayim. The Ruach HaKodesh is obviously supernatural. With divine inspiration. Like Chazal say, the Yisrael is in Ritzon Shemakam, Pnei Mishalachim. So what about the menorahs going to fall into this category? What about the menorahs supernatural? So if you took four things that were supernatural and hid them away, we understand. But there was a mizbeach and there was a shulchan, and those things are gone. They were taken away. They were destroyed. So how is it the menorah is counted among the four supernatural ones? Why should it not be like the other kelim? And why is it that on the pasuk el mul pnei menorah yirshiva saneros, that's on the pasuk to the face of the menorah the seven candles shall shine? That's where we learn the menorah is going to last forever. It says in Medrash, he says el mul pnei menorah yirshiva saneros shusakash baruch leishiv im basav edam bener. Midrash says an amazing thing, that God sits with flesh and blood people by the candles. Shamar lahem el mul pnei menorah yiru, God said el mul pnei menorah yiru, they're going to shine into the middle of the menorah. Midrash hen lahem avana. What does that mean? What is the Midrash trying to say? Eich mashem be'omra el mul pnei menorah yiru shiva sanes. How does it say in the pasuk that the candles are going to shine in the middle? How does that have anything to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu sitting together with flesh and blood people with the menorah? What does that have to do with each other? What's the Midrash saying? Moshe struggled. We know this Midrash very well. Moshe struggled to make the menorah. He struggled so much that Hashem had to show him a picture of the menorah. There's another Midrash that says that not only was Moshe had such a hard time envisioning the menorah, had to be shown a vision of it. Not only that, but he couldn't do it. Pasha couldn't make it. So Hashem said, okay, take this big chunk of gold, this hunk of metal, throw it in the fire, and there was some sort of nace, and outside came the menorah. Just like Moshe had a vision, with that vision, Moshe made the menorah. It doesn't say that Moshe made it as he saw in the vision. It says, ken asa sa menorah. Ken asa stam. Who did it according to the Midrash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He made the menorah. Shegam zeh tzarach biur lama davka menorah ha'yisa tzvich li'asas al-yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'vod de'atzon. So now we have an answer to one of our questions. Why is the menorah called supernatural? Because Hashem made it. Right? It was a miraculous thing. You took a hunk of gold and you threw it in the fire and out comes the menorah. The question is why? Why did the menorah have to be that way? Amru Chazal and Chagiga, Or shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yam rishon Adam tzayfim b'bit mesayfah tzayfah. You know that when it says in Genesis and Bereishis, when it talks about creation, it talks about the light. You know, if you're talking about anything, Rashi says right away that we're not talking about Seder HaBriya. Right? When we talk about Bereishis, we're not talking about things happening in the order that they're written in Pesukim, because when we talk about the light, there's no sun and there's no moon yet. Right? They're created later. So Midrashim and the deeper Sfarim teach us that it's not just that the Torah is not speaking in order, but the light that is being spoken of in Bereishis isn't talking about the light from the sun and the moon. It's not talking about any type of physical light at all. It was such a spiritual light that it had the power for Adam Rishon to see with that light from one end of the world to the other. Midrash says, Rashi brings that Midrash there, that Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that this light was so special, he took and hid it. He didn't want the Rishon to have the power to use this light, and he hid it. Ha'or HaKadosh Hazeh Hu Asher Nivra B'dvar Hashem Bereishis Abriya V'yomer Hashem Yihi Or Vayihi Or. And that is the light which is spoken of in Pasuk, Yihi Or Vayihi Or. It's not talking about the light from the sun. The or ze eino or gashmi kedugmas hamoiris shenivro biyom revi. It's not like the sun and the moon that were created on the fourth day. Elohu or elokusis barach asher heir bechol olam. It's godly light, a divine light, which shines throughout the entire world. As it says in Pasuk in Yeshaya, lo yirecha od hashemesh lo or yomam v'lo noigu yareach lo yirecha v'yirecha Hashem lo erlam. The Navi tells us in the future, we'll be zoiche, we won't need the sun to shine for us or the moon. God will be our light. So what is it telling us that God will be our light? That there was such a thing in the past. It's going to come back to us again. V'nivre ha'or b'rishayne ki b'ri or elokusa yisberach en kiyum abriya. Without God's divine light, the world cannot exist. There is no existence. There was some power that this light gave to Adam Rishon to see from one end of the world to the other. And Hashem was afraid that Rishon would be able to somehow use this light. It didn't take it away completely. He hid it away. So Zohar says that God hid that light. If he hadn't hid it, the world couldn't exist anymore because the Rishayim would have chas shalom and have something used to it. And it's hidden away like a seed, that if it's planted, some things will grow from it. Now we know God doesn't make mistakes and he doesn't change his mind and he doesn't think twice about stuff. God knows the future. So what does it mean that he hid the light? So God knew that the Rishayim shouldn't use the light. Really, Hashem brought that light into the world to teach us that there are people worthy of such a light. Right? The Degel Machan Ephraim brings some Baal Shem Tov. The Baal HaTurim says Es HaOr. Baal HaTurim says Batoira. Es HaOr is the gematria of the words Batoira. The Degel Machan Ephraim brings from his grandfather from Baal Shem Tov that the light of creation is hidden in the Torah. And that's what it means that tzaddikim are able to look into the Torah and see the future and understand things that we don't understand. But they're able to still see within the Torah that light that Hashem hid within the Torah. And when they're able to look into the Torah because of the way they're able to study, they're able to see what we can't see. They're able to see from one end of the world to the other, and they're able to understand the future, and they're able to understand things that we do not understand. So that light is hidden, and Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that there are some people that will be worthy of that light. Therefore, the only people who can have the connection to such a light are those who study and toil in Torah. Only they can be zoichet to such a light. And the Rishayim obviously will never do such a thing. This means he hid it. So there's a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach, She'or Shebar Kadosh Baruch Hu Biyom Rishon Ganzel Amalei Torah. The Midrash already says that those who seek and study, those who study and toil in the Torah, if they, you know, take away sleep from their eyes, and they don't eat, they fast, and they study and they toil, it's for them. They're the ones who are able to see that light in the Torah. So what's the purpose of Beis HaMikdash? It was to uplift all of Klal Yisrael to a high level. All the purpose of all the kingdom in the Beis HaMikdash and all the things that we did in Beis HaMikdash are to uplift us, to uplift the entire nation. Just like the Sfarim say that in the Hanukkah candles is hidden that light. The Ramban said that the menorah is still around because the Hanukkah candles are still around. And the light of the creation is what comes out of the Hanukkah candles. I think we spoke about this once in the Shir. So the Shalom is saying that what's the original of all the candles is the menorah itself. The Hanukkah candles represent the menorah. The menorah is the source of the hidden light. The light of the menorah was not a fire, a physical fire. It was a divine, spiritual, godly light. Just like menorah was supernaturally made by Kadosh Baruch Hu throwing it into the fire. Moshe threw it into the fire. Hashem made a nes in the menorah. The menorah was the source, the kli that held the spiritual light of creation. And the light of the face of God is life, the King. Kadosh Baruch Hu yoshev im basar v'dam baner. Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, sits by the candle with flesh and blood. That's why it says when the candles lit, they all lit towards the middle. Shima kavana l'nerim tsoi ner amaravi ayetzarach loyma yiru shishus neiros. Ela shakavana el mul pnei hamenorah. And that's the pnimius. Panim in Hebrew means the inside. Even though the face is on the outside, panim in Hebrew means pnim, inside. And why is that? The Sfarim say, because on a person's face, you can see what's inside. If a person's happy outside, I mean inside, and you see it on his face. The outside is supposed to, that's why we spoke, I think, we spoke about Tocho Kibaro, last week's Parsha, spoke about being inside and outside, that there has to be the inside and the outside have to be similar to each other. That's the secret of the face. The face should reflect what's inside. And therefore, in Hebrew, pnim, the panim of the menorah, reflects the inside of the menorah, the depth of the menorah, the pnimius of the menorah. And that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yisbarach Kaviyachol. She'etzma menorah ha'yisa b'chinas bina, shechina iloh, the source of God's dwelling in the world, she'me'ira b'chol shivas ha'midus. And the secret of the seven branches of menorah are the seven midos, Chagasnaim, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzachod, Yesod, and Malchus, which are the seven lower spheres. Umimena hi'ir l'klal Yisrael, Ora l'kus, and that shines forth the light of God. Umizabivuar madua maisa menorah haya yoyser kasha mishar melochos. Hamishkan, Hutzrach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yaseh the menorah through a nes. Why is the menorah so different? Why did God make a special miracle for the menorah? Because it wasn't just another kli. It wasn't like just another type of vessel. But it was such a miraculous vessel. It was a vessel that was supposed to contain the divine light of creation, the divine light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the menorah was so different. And that's the secret of the menorah. And that's the secret of why Aharon was told that his power of lighting the menorah is forever. Because the light of the menorah never ceases. Even though we don't have the menorah with us anymore, when a person takes and connects himself to the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the study of Torah and through the toil of Torah, he's able to awaken that light. He's able to bring that light into the world, to bring that light into his family, bring that light into himself. The Sfarim say that light reveals itself in certain candles. It reveals itself in Hanukkah candles. It also reveals itself in the Shabbos candles. That when we bring the light of Shabbos, when we light the Shabbos candles and bring the light of Shabbos into our homes and into our hearts and into our lives, we're bringing that divine light, that inspiring light of godliness. It's a different type of light. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron, Shochak Hayam La'ad. Because for Mul Pnei HaMenorah, that light is never going to ever be extinguished. It's an Inyan Nitzchi. Because those seven candles are the seven Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're forever. And that light is never ever going to be extinguished. Even if we can't perceive it and see it, it's been hidden away, but it's never gone. And we have the power, through the study of Torah, through the lighting of the Hanukkah candles, through the lighting of the Shabbos candles, we have the power to shine that divine light and have it inspire us and bring us back to Hashem.